We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging Word. On today's edition of The Encouraging Word, Dr. Don continues in the concept and understanding of the book of Revelation and the end of times, but specifically about Jesus coming in the clouds. As we open God's Word in just a moment, please know that we're open to pray with you right now. We'd love to talk with you, listen, maybe connect you with resources at the other end of this number, 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you anytime, day or night, at 866-899-9673. Or let's connect online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word from Dr. Don Wilton. You'll be glad you did. And now, today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. It is just wonderful to be able to fellowship with you like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast. It's really a great joy. And I just want to thank you for tuning in, for worshiping with us, and for the wonderful fellowship that we have together in the Lord Jesus. So many of you write me notes and send me emails and are just great encouragers. And I just love the name, The Encouraging Word, don't you? But it really, it's not about us. It's about this word, God's word. And in fact, we're going to be studying such an encouraging word today. I'm going to be speaking to you about an incredible subject. It runs deep. You're going to need to listen carefully because I'm going to speak to you today about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. Now, I'm going to say that again. I'm not going to speak to you right now about the second coming. I'm going to speak to you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. So, I want you to get ready with your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can start turning there right now by whatever means you use because you need to see this on your own. I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm also going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're also going to look at some selected passages in the book of Revelation. In fact, there's a lot to get through. Just let me just say this to you, because some of you are wondering where I am exactly right now. I am in Jerusalem. Can you believe that? This is just incredible. In fact, the place where I'm standing, those of you who've been here, you know this is the House of Caiaphas. And it's just a deeply spiritual place to be. This place gets to my heart. And the reason it does is because this is where they dragged the Lord Jesus Christ to. In fact, right behind me is the roadway, the old stone roadway that many believe is the exact place where they dragged Jesus so unceremonially. Just, they were so horrid. They beat him to a pulp. They just absolutely just took out their vengeance on the Son of Man who was laying down his life for us. And they took him right to this place and threw him into the pit of a prison that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. Go and read Psalm 88. You'll be reminded of that. The psalmist captured this as God put it on his heart. Why do I mention the sacrifice of Jesus? Because when we talk about Jesus coming in the clouds, all of that to say, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his willingness to lay down his life, to shed his blood so that you and I can be forgiven our sins, is the very reason why when we study the coming of Jesus in the clouds, it means you and I can be part of that. And I want you to listen carefully today, because this coming of Jesus in the clouds, which many people have popularized using the phrase, the rapture of the church. And I'm going to explain that to you. The rapture of the church, that word rapture, literally means to be translated, to be snatched away. And really it's a phrase that came out of Revelation chapter 4, right after God gives us this incredible warning concerning the church. The Bible tells us that John was at once in the Spirit. He looked up and he saw heaven open. He was at once in the Spirit and he was taken from this earth up into heaven. Well, this is what God's Word teaches us. Now, friends, just I want you to get a hold of something here. So I'm going to say this real slowly. I want you to really get a hold of this because it'll be a blessing to you. There are really three comings of Jesus that are very, very, very critical to you and to me. Coming number one, you got it, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, God Himself, when Jesus came and was born, took upon Himself human flesh, was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. That's the first time Jesus came to this earth. The second coming of Jesus is what we are going to talk about right now, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. Now, you need to listen very carefully, because the coming of Jesus in the clouds is very clear in the Bible. I'm going to show this to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Particularly, and in other passages as we put this together, because the Bible is very specific. Jesus does not land on the earth. The third coming of Jesus, which we call the second coming, which is the second time He comes to this earth, is found in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. We'll be talking about that together. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, actually, which is just right here to my left. I'm looking at the Mount of Olives down through the Kidron Valley. And He's going to land on the Mount of Olives in person. In fact, the angel of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 told the men of Galilee, don't worry, don't look up there. The same Jesus who went up is going to come back down. And Zechariah chapter 14 tells us that He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. That's the second coming. And by the way, when He comes back that time, He'll never leave, because He's going to set up His kingdom. He's going to go down through the Kidron Valley, through the Eastern Gate. He's going to reclaim the Temple Mount, set up His kingdom before marching across the fields of Samaria and the hills of Samaria to the battlefields of Armageddon, followed by the thousand-year reign, followed by the banishment forever of Satan himself, followed by the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And then in Revelation 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the old heaven and the old earth had passed away and there was no longer any separation. And a new Jerusalem came down out of heaven, and God from the throne said, from now on I'm going to make my dwelling place among men. All right, now let's go back to this again. Three comings. Coming number one, when Jesus was born. That's the Christmas story. Coming number two, when Jesus comes in the clouds and we get taken up to meet Him, if we're not already with Him, if we haven't already died. My dad is already with Him. I'm just going to be caught up. My dad will be there. I'm going to meet Him. And all our loved ones, all your loved ones who know Jesus. Coming number three is when Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives, just like the angel said and just like the angels will announce in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1 and following, with great chorus, that Jesus will land, heaven will open, and the Son of Man will come riding on a white horse. You got it? All right. So what we're going to be studying together is the coming of Jesus in the clouds. Okay. I want to read to you a few verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this is an incredible passage. This is what Paul said. So verse 13, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who die, or to grieve like the rest of those men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died, that He rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with Him or in Him. God is going to bring with Jesus at this incredible event, the coming of Jesus in the clouds, all those who have already, it's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? By the way, do you know what happens to a believer when you die? You just fall asleep in Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? You just go to sleep in Christ. You just lift it up. The angels in heaven just pick you up and carry you into the presence of the King of Kings. You are seated at the feast table of the King. All right, verse 15. According to the Lord's own word, this is His word, we tell you that we who are still alive, those of us who haven't yet died, and who are still left on this earth till the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have already died, those who have fallen asleep. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are already in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are alive and remain on this earth will be caught up together with them to meet Jesus. Now watch this, folks, in the air. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. All right, now I want to show you something here that is very, very important. I'm just going to give you some hard biblical facts about the coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds. Number one, Jesus is coming in the clouds.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton's message in just a moment. But we just want to say we're here for you. We're connecting 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And online at theencouragingword.org. One of the joys of our ministry is that every single day, someone gives their heart to Jesus Christ through this ministry. Whether it's on the phone or online, connected to our television or radio broadcast, we praise God for that, and we thank you. Many of you have been prayer supporters and financial supporters of The Encouraging Word, and you need to know how grateful we are. As a matter of fact, you have become what we call encouragers.
Take a minute and think about a couple of things. Where are clouds, by the way? You got it, up there. In fact, even here in Jerusalem today, there are clouds up there. I don't think anybody disputes the fact that clouds are up there. Anyone ever seen clouds when you dig a hole in the ground? Well, no. Clouds are up there. They're in the sky. They float. They're up. You know, it's like people sometimes try to figure out exactly where heaven is. Isn't it amazing that the disciples stood there on the Mount of Olives and they looked up? Can I tell you where heaven is right now? Up. Point up. Just point up. Where are clouds? Up. By the way, he uses another phrase there too. The air. Where is air? It's up. In the air. Caught up. Another phrase that God's word uses is the word to gather. He comes down and He gathers them. He gathers them up in the clouds where Jesus is in the air. None of that language, none of those words are used in Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. Heaven opens. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, comes down out of heaven. He's riding a white horse. The prophet tells us He lands on the Mount of Olives. He brings with Him all believers. He goes through the Eastern Gate. Living water flows out of Him. Reclaims the temple. Goes to the battlefield of Armageddon. even with all the bells and whistles going off. Maybe the bells that we're hearing ringing are just a celebration of the fact that the King is coming. Isn't that fantastic? I love that. Thank you, bells. You rang just at the right time, didn't you? Folks, listen to me. Here's fact number one that I want to share with you about the coming of Jesus in the clouds. And it's exactly that. Jesus is coming in the clouds. This coming is not the second coming that we know. It precedes that, which means something is going to happen after that. Fact number two, all believers are going to be with him. Well, when Jesus comes in the clouds, believers are going to be in one of two places. Let's talk about that for a minute. Place number one, up in heaven, already with the Lord Jesus. Do you know someone who's already there? I bet you do. You and I feel that, don't we? I tell you, I've had so many friends of mine that I've sat with and held hands with, just as they have with me, when our loved ones die. That's a hard thing, isn't it? I just want you to know that I love you and I pray for you. You know, I think Paul the Apostle really understood this. You know, he wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, "Yes, we do grieve, but not as those who have no hope." Isn't that well said? We do grieve. By the way, people ask me all the time, Dr. Wilton, you know, is there something wrong with me because I want to cry, because I weep, because I've lost my wife, because I've lost my husband, my son, my daughter, my best friend? Not one bit. I try to tell people all the time, I really think that our tears are just a sweet savor in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I think they just are an expression, a beautiful expression of the deep love that we have for those who have already died. And you know, the wonderful thing is that when people die in Christ, they go straight to heaven. So believer group number one are people just like that. I've told you about my dad, loved my dad. My precious mother, who's 90 years of age, is still with us, and I'm so glad she is, and I love her very, very much. But you know, my brothers and I were there when Dad passed away. We were right there in that hospital. Dad was just about 90 and served the Lord all his life, a great preacher and teacher of the Word of God, and just loved him so much. I was right there with my brothers when my father drew his last breath. So I'm going to tell you quite honestly, we just began to weep. I can't tell you the feeling that came over. All of a sudden, we just realized Dad was gone. But we didn't grieve as those who have no hope. I could just see my dad, if he could have, right there in that hospital bed, just stand up and say, "Boys, what is the matter with you? This is what I've lived for all my life. I've just been picked up by God's angels and given a royal escort into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I would have said to him, "Dad, I know and I understand and I believe that, but gosh, Dad, I just miss you." So believer group number one, already there. And I got some news for you. None of us know exactly when Jesus is going to come in the clouds. So you want to hear the rest of that story? You and I may already be with him when he comes in the clouds. So what does God say to us in 1 Thessalonians? That God has made the decision to bring with Jesus all those who have already fallen asleep in Jesus. So when Jesus comes in the clouds, all believers, number one, who are already with him, already in heaven, will be accompanying him. Number two, all believers on this earth are going to boom, just like that. Boom, just like that. We're going to be snatched out of this earth. It's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Have you ever tried to figure out what a twinkling of an eye is? I think it is something so quick, so amazing. The Bible says the archangel, the trumpet will sound, the announcement will be made. Every eye will see him. Everyone will know. There will be a radiant glory that will stretch across this universe as the Son of Man comes in the clouds, and everyone who has given their hearts and lives to Jesus, who is still alive on this earth, will be caught up to meet our loved ones with Jesus in the air. Here's the catch, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that an amazing truth? That's one of the most amazing things that you'll ever know in your entire life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given your heart and life to Him? Have you trusted Him as your Savior and Lord? Have you repented of your sin? Have you confessed your sin to Him? Have you received Him into your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you belong to Him? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Jesus is coming in the clouds, and He's coming to receive you. But you know there's something that's going to take place. The moment Jesus comes in the clouds, there is going to be, all of a sudden, a series of events that are going to be unleashed on this earth. It's going to begin with the arrival of Antichrist. Now, I want to read to you something that is absolutely amazing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just get a load of this. This is what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered unto Him. There's the same word. We ask you not to become easily alarmed or unsettled by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come to us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. I want to tell you right now, as we begin to unpack this incredible subject about the coming of the Lord Jesus, that what God wants us to know right out of the hatch is that God is the only one who is in control of the time clock of the coming of Jesus. He is the only one who knows that split second. He is the only one who will give that command. And He is the only one that will dispatch His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in the clouds in order that we will be received unto Him. And in that moment that we are taken up, all those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ will be left behind on this earth. Now, here's what I want you to really get into your mind. This is very important. Because while all believers are taken out of this world, this world, this earth, is left with all unbelievers. And something begins to happen. And the first thing is going to be the unholy Trinity. Now, we all know who the Holy Trinity is: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But just wait until you hear what God's Word has to say about the unholy Trinity, who they are, when they arrive, and what they're going to do at the time that Jesus comes in the clouds. That's why I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. That's why this is so urgent. That's why every believer has something to look forward to. And that's why the Apostle Paul said to these people, based on what God has told us, yes, Jesus is coming in the clouds. And look at that final verse. So, encourage one another with these words.
It's a powerful and challenging and ominous subject that Dr. Wilton's been talking about today. But as we think about even the evil that is in the world now and the evil that will be manifest in those end days, we know that there is something greater. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. God is bigger than each of these ominous things that we might look forward to or look ahead to in the end of days. But I pray that you would know that that scripture, 1 John 4:4, it's only relevant if you've asked Jesus to be in you. Would you please take a moment and listen as Dr. Don shares these final, most important words of our day today.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you just prayed that prayer, maybe to give your life to Christ for the first time or to rededicate your life and come back to Jesus Christ, you need to know that we believe that God would have this moment for us to take another step together to help you grow in your faith, maybe to help you plug back into a local church or find a local church. Those are all resources we offer here at The Encouraging Word, but it starts with let's getting to know each other. Give us a call. Let us pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That number's 866-899-9673. And anytime, day or night, we'll connect you with one of us happy to talk or listen or pray and connect you with the resources that will help you grow in your faith. You can also connect with us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And the resources we offer right now, there's some unique books that are just really taking off, so to speak. A lot of folks are asking about them. But know that we're more than just providing your resources. We're here to pray as well. Here's Liz with details about why we think prayer is so important.
We believe in the power of prayer. We all know of someone who stands in the need of prayer. But what about you today? Do you need someone to pray for you? What concerns you today? Is something or someone weighing heavy on your heart? Call us at 866-899-WORD. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 866-899-WORD. All prayer calls are confidential. We would love to pray for you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, what a great continuation of this concept of what's going to take place not only here in earth, but also on heaven when Jesus comes in the clouds. Again, that continues tomorrow here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. If you've missed part of this series or want to hear some of it again, remember you'll find that on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. It's also a great place to sign up for the daily Encouraging Word email. We have doubled our emails. There's tens of thousands of people that are saying, yes, I want to be a part of that mailing list, not because we're asking you for anything, but we're offering every single day the truth of God's Word, insight from Dr. Don Wilton, and more. I hope you'll sign up today online at tewonline.org. The